for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is a 2020 annual ladies conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, 1:15 p.m., February the 22nd, 2020. Jeremy Gee is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on prayers that avail much.
Well, Lord, we just come before your throne. We thank you that you're a king, our master. You are our all in all. Father, you are our answer man. You are our helper, our stronghold, our mighty fortress. And Father, we just come before your throne. I pray, Lord, that I'll be a tree of life, that rivers of living water will come forth from my innermost being. God, I pray the eyes of every heart will be enlightened. Lord, I pray for a download from heaven. I pray, God, you bring to my remembrance everything you've said. God, I ask in the name of Jesus that each person, the eyes of their heart will be enlightened. They'll know what is the hope of their calling, what is the height, width, length, and depth of your love toward them. I ask you to give every person a revelation of your love. Lord, I loose over this place the fear of the Lord, the conviction of sin, the spirit of repentance, and the truth that sets us free, in Jesus' name. And Lord, you said whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that our times are in your hands, and when we're tried, we will come forth like gold. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. And I bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. I bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. Forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, our families, our concerns. In the name of Jesus, I bind and break every word, curse, spell, hex, vex, charm, incantation, divination, assault, assignment, attachment, voodoo magic, black magic, sorcery, enchantments, bewitchments, witchcraft, words of death, words of iniquity, curses, assignments, satanic rituals spoken over us, over this camp, over Meryl, Barbara, Patty, Kevin, Linda, Rick, over Dan, Crystal, and the children, in the name of Jesus. Over each of us and our families, we boomerang back on the enemy every curse and assignment sent against us. In Jesus' name. Well, the title of this message is Prayers That Avail Much. And prayer really is just conversing with God. It's just talking to God like you would talk to me or I would talk to you. It's just conversations with God. And I'm guessing that the majority of you here are going through battles that are spiritual in nature, and you wonder what in the world's happened. All of a sudden, something's happened. I've never in my Christian life seen so many people in so much distress. And I believe God is doing this work in us to purify us. He will allow battles in your life to bring you up higher with Him, to give you a different perspective, to give you a different life, a new beginning. And He will engineer things, and most of us are just blaming the devil, and of course the devil surely is behind it, but God's the one that tells the devil what he can do and what he can't do. He's the one. If you're submitted to God, the devil cannot do anything God does not let him do. The scripture says in Job that he opens your ears in times of affliction. And you know, back this, I guess this hit me, the worst thing I've ever gone through in my life. The last 6 months have been the hardest months of my entire life. You know, I grew up, I didn't really have a lot of trauma growing up. I had a mom and dad that loved me. I've gone through two divorces, a son that died with AIDS. None of that has been anything like what I've gone through this last few months. But, you know, God tells me that when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold, that my times are in His hands, and He's the King and Master, and He knows the plans He has for me and you. And it's for good and not for evil to give us a future and a hope. You know, Job was the most righteous man that lived upon the earth. The Bible says because he feared God and turned away from evil. So our righteousness, we're all messes. We're all works in progress. But he wants to purify us in a greater way. And he's the one that told, you know, Satan appeared before God, and he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" God's the one that brought up the subject. And Job said, "Well, he wouldn't love you if you didn't blah, 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 if you didn't do this for him." So God gave him permission to touch him. All through the book of Job, Satan was attacking, but Job never one time blamed the devil. He never said, "Oh, I'm coming under an attack by the enemy." If you read the whole book, Job complains the whole book, but he never, his wife has said, "Curse God and die." And he never cursed God, but he grumbled and complained the whole time. You see fear, you see confusion, you see pain. And at the very end, in Job 42, God gave him a revelation of his pride. And at the very end, he said, I've heard you with the hearing of the ear, but now I see you with the seeing of the eye. And he repented of pride. And I believe that when God puts us through battles, he's trying to break our pride. And it's like an iceberg. We saw it off at the water's edge and more floats up. And, you know, I couldn't understand why all this was happening to me. I never questioned God. I know he's the smart one, but I'm always saying, "Lord, what am I missing?" And one of the things he's shown me is that he's killing me. Not physically. He's killing my flesh. Because even this circus that goes on every day of me dropping things, spilling things, knocking things over, knocked glass off of the drain board, and glass went everywhere, but I couldn't see it because it was clear glass and I have a white floor. And so God has used this. When this happened to me back when I was at camp, in Labor Day camp, and I laid down, I taught that morning, and I laid down and took a nap, and when I woke up, I could not see out of either one of my eyes. This eye I still can't see out of, and this eye is partial. This still needs a lot of work done on it. And so I wasn't aware of any anger. I do get frustrated at politicians, but I quickly repent. But there was no anger in my life. I mean, I'm not an angry person. There's no, I had forgiven everybody. There was no issues I hadn't taken to the cross that was bothering me, no trouble me, no unforgiveness. I wasn't living in fear, and I could not think of one area of my life that I had not repented. I was totally prayed up and confessed up. But I'm telling you, this past 6 months, I have seen so much pride, so much haughtiness, so many things I didn't even see because God opens my ears. He's taken my prayer life to a different level. He's taken my, before, because I couldn't read the word or read words, I've been listening to Bible tapes and listening to the Word, getting the Word in my heart. But the relationship that he's given me with him is deeper than it's ever been in my whole Christian life. And he's not through with me. He wants it to go deeper. So the battles that you're going through, God's trying to get your attention in some areas. He's trying to purify you in areas. He's trying to align you with the Word. He has got an answer for everything you go through. And Satan cannot touch you unless God lets him. God is sovereign. The scripture says that he created the smith to blow the clothes. He created the destroyer to ruin. He said everything was created by God and for God, and there wasn't anything that was created Now I want you to look at this. This is just a little bit of what I... My screen went blank. But anyway, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Yay. Bless the Lord.
Amen. In all things.
Is there a computer expert here? Oh, there it is. Praise God. No, it's turned on. I made the mistake the day before I came to update my iPad. Does that give you a clue? Uh-huh. Every background is totally black except, you know, my message here that I can barely read. But anyway, I don't need to read it because God's going to do it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Do you need help with it, Jerry?
No, I've got it now. I've got it. Hallelujah. So you go through battles because God's trying to purify you and take you to a higher level with him. To get rid of more sin, to open your ears, to cause you to see things that you didn't even see.
Amen.
You know, even Job, I was listening to the book of Job the other day, even Job prayed, Lord, show me what I don't see.
Yes.
And that's my prayer, Lord, show me what I don't see. In Jesus' name. And, you know, I was repented up, prayed up when all this happened. But, you know, God wanted to show me some more sin in my life. And that's what He wants to do with you. He wants to bring us to the place of crucifying our flesh. And that's what He's doing this for me. I mean, I still have to do it, but I'm saying God's using this to kill my flesh. Because I like everything to go smooth. It doesn't all the time now. R.A. Torrey said that prayer moves the hand that moves God. And so prayer is the vehicle by which we get counsel, we get comfort, we get encouragement, we get answers, we get healing and deliverance just through prayer. So we've got to pray. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean just continuous prayer. It means to pray intermittently, continuously. And so if we're not praying, we're fainting. You know, years ago I read a book when I could read a book. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have to say that a lot.
Yes.
But I read a book by Paul Bellheimer called Destined for the Throne. And basically the principle of that book is that he's training you to reign in eternity. It's training for reigning. And prayerlessness is a sin, and you have to confess it just like you confess any sin. It's a sin not to pray. In 1 Samuel 12, Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against you by not praying. And so prayerlessness is a sin, and it's dangerous not to pray. When you don't pray, you open your life up to the devil for him to destroy you. He wants to destroy your life, your relationships with him, with God. He wants to destroy your family, your job, your fire, your anointing, your ministry. He wants to destroy your marriage if you're married. You know, when you're going together, the demons push you this way to try to get you into sexual sin. And the minute the wedding bells ring, the demons start pushing you that way. And so, praise God, though, He's the answer. And so you're either praying or fainting, or you're either overcoming or overcome. So you have a choice. Nobody can do it for you. It's something you have to choose to do. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving make your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Persistent, consistent prayer is a powerful tool against the devil. You know, the Bible talks, there's a scripture somewhere, I don't know where it's in the Bible, but it says, so lay down and let the enemy make your back a sidewalk. And that's a picture of passivity, of not coming against the devil, because God's given you authority. Power belongs to God, and God has given you power and authority to tread on the lion, the cobra, even the young lion and the serpent to trample down.
Yes.
He's given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and the Bible says, nothing shall by any means injure you. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. And boy, I need to know those great and mighty things that I don't know of. You know, when I was a younger Christian, I used to thought I knew everything. And now I don't think I know anything. Now I'm totally at God's mercy. And that's good. That's what God wants. He wants me to be humble before Him. And I haven't been a humble person. And, you know, I thought I'd been dealing with arrogance and all this stuff. And last week, I think it was last week, Lorna and I snuck into an ice station to get Haagen-Dazs ice cream. And I was standing there with that ice cream, and there was somebody there, and they were taking their time, they're fiddling around. And I said, you know, the ice cream's going to melt. That's haughtiness. And I was ashamed of myself when I got home, because God wants to get that out of me. And there's too much of that still in me. And so I'm confessing my faults before you. And the Bible says I will get healed when I do that. Hallelujah. Yeah. Psalms 2:8 says, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth as your possession. That's what God says. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock, and the door shall be open unto you. You know, asking might take 20 years to get an answer. And I remember, I can see that with Todd. But my youngest son died of AIDS in 1989, and I prayed for him for 20 years. But recently, I just learned, you know, seek, it says ask, so you ask. Seek, God says, you'll find me when you seek for me with your whole heart. And then it says knock, and the knocking prayers are the ones that say, God, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Those are the groaning and the getting a hold of the horns of the altar prayers, and those work are quicker. And I really have not got into that dimension yet, and that's someplace God wants to bring me. This is getting me there, believe me, but I'm not there yet, because recently when I heard that, I thought, you know, I ask God once, and then I don't ask him again till the next day when I'm praying, or I might, you know, but I'm saying generally, I don't do the knocking thing. I do the asking thing. And so we need to get a hold of God. We need to focus in on what our need is and not... Can you imagine if you went into a room and you said, God, I'm not going to come out of here till you save my son? Well, most of us don't have time to do that. We've got too many other things to do. But we need to make prayer a priority. Matthew 21, verse 22 says... all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing that you receive it, you shall have it. John 14:13 says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. John 15 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will and I'll do it. And we'll talk about abiding a little bit later. And John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, I already said that one. So, no, John 14:1 says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. John 15:16, something like that, Jesus said, you're my friends if you do what I say. And then he goes on to say, you didn't choose me, but I chose you that you might go and bear fruit, that your fruit might remain. And then he said, so whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And of course, he tells us in John 15, if we abide in him, we'll produce much fruit. Abiding means to stay under God's authority. It means to obey. Abide means obey. It means to die to your flesh. You know, a branch has no life in itself unless it's connected to the vine. Jesus said, you're the branches and he's the vine. And if you cut a limb off of a tree, it dies and is fruitless. And that's the way it is. When we're cut off from God, we can't produce fruit. It's the life in the vine that pushes off the deadness. You know, like the life in a tree pushes off the deadness, pushes off the dead leaves of a tree. And so for us to abide in Christ, it's a picture of dying to our flesh. In John 12, Jesus said, you have to let go of your life and let go of your life so that you can find it. And then he says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And God's trying to bring all of our flesh life to death, because most of what we do in the name of God is in the flesh. And anything we do in the flesh will end up being burned, wood, hay, and stubble.
Yes.
It's only as we're connected to the vine and we die to our flesh that the life in the vine produces love, joy, peace, love, suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, and haughtiness is nowhere near there. Satan is king over all the sons of pride. And pride, arrogance, haughtiness, impatience. The scripture says it's better to be patient than haughty. And I can say impatience has been my worst sin in my life. And so you can see how all these little circus that goes on all the day long, or has gone along all the day long, I'm going to start praising God when it goes on. And I haven't passed the test, but I'm going to pass it, okay? I have absolutely felt like giving up, just quitting everything. It's easier just to die and go to heaven. Anyway, that's what I've been thinking, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what I can as long as I can for as long as He lets me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. John 16:24 says, "Unto now have you asked anything in my name? Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full." Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or even think." Well, I think this, God, but he says, I'm going to do exceeding abundant above what you think. There's been times this past 6 months I'm thinking, God, I don't think you're even answering my prayers. I don't think you're even hearing me. I thank Job, not that I was anything like Job, but like Job, he didn't think I was hearing him either.
That's right.
But then the scripture says, my people will, what is that scripture? I'm going to paraphrase. I'll obey in the day of my power. My people will. Anyway, it has to do when it's the day of God's power is when He pours that power out and gives you the grace to obey. I know He hears me, but I felt like at times, Lord, I don't know of anything else to repent of. Except He showed me the haughty the other day, and the haughty and pride. I mean, I can always repent of pride, and I'm doing it. Amen.
Praise God.
James 1:5 says, "If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and upbraids not." You know, I used to ask the Lord, and I'd say, "Well, Lord, blah blah blah," and then, "Well, Lord, did you really tell me that?" And I would question. I wasn't asking in faith. God said you have to ask in faith without doubting. And part of that went back to my childhood when I'd ask my daddy if I could do something, and he'd say no. And I'd say, I'd go to my mother, and I'd say, "Mother, Daddy said I couldn't do this, but can I?" "Yeah, I do it. Just don't tell him." You see, if you can manipulate God, if you can manipulate your mother and father, the lie is you can manipulate God, and that causes confusion. So I had to forgive my mother for that, because that was wrong. Anyway, so we're to ask in faith and not doubting, because it says, "He who doubts is like a ship driven of the wind and tossed back and forth." And so when we ask God, we need to ask Him in faith, ask Him one time, believe what He's telling us. And even if we hear Him wrong, if we keep doing that, we'll hear Him right. He'll teach us how to hear Him. 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence you can have toward Him, that if you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if He hears you, you already have what you asked for." So is His will His word? Is His word His will? It is. So if you're asking Him according to His will, you already have what you asked for. And you know, there's obstacles in our life. If we're going to have prayers that avail much, there's obstacles in our life that we have to overcome. And sin is behind why we don't get our prayers answered. But the first thing that I'll mention is iniquity. It says in Psalm 66:18, "If you regard iniquity in your heart, God won't hear your prayers." And to regard iniquity means to look upon your sin with favor. I remember when my son, who's now my pastor, was 16 years old. We had an island in our kitchen, and I was mad at his daddy, his stepfather. I was mad at his stepfather, but we never argued in front of the kids. If we ever argued, they never knew it. But I was mad, and so my son said, "Mom, what's wrong?" Because, you know, I don't have to say a word. My face is like a neon sign. I think I'm going to be nice around my family and not preach to them. I don't even have to say one word, and I'm preaching to them. So they have a tendency sometimes to avoid me. My grandson David said the other day, he texted me, he said, "Happy birthday to my best friend." I'm thinking, if I'm your best friend, why haven't I talked to you in about a year? But he's busy. I mean, he's going to paramedic school. Anyway, praise God. So if you guard iniquity in your heart, God won't hear your prayers. Another is, if you won't listen to God, why should He listen to you? And, you know, His Word, Jesus is His Word. He is the Word of God. And if we reject the Word of God, we're rejecting Jesus, because He is the Word of God. And if you won't listen, and I'm going to paraphrase this one because I can't quote all of it, but Proverbs 1:23 says, "Turn to my reproof, and I'll pour out my spirit upon you, and you will know my word. Because I called and you refused, No one paid attention to me. He said, I'm going to laugh at your calamity, and I'm paraphrased, and I'm going to mock when your dread comes like a storm, like a whirlwind. And then he goes on to say, but he who listens to me shall dwell securely and be at ease from the dread of evil. So if you've been a person that hasn't listened to God, and if you're not at ease from the dread of evil, it's because you're someplace you're not listening. So you need to listen to God. And Lord, I ask you right now to open our ears, dig out our ears, give us ears to hear, excavate our ears in the name of Jesus. And so Proverbs 28:9 says, he who turns aside his ear from listening to God's law or his word, even his prayer, is an abomination. Another one is shutting your ears to the cry of the poor. Seeing people that have needs and are hungry or going without and shutting your ears to them. God says in Proverbs 21:13, he who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor, even his prayer is an abomination to God. Another one is sinner. God does not hear the prayers of a sinner. And of course, we're all sinners, but you know, like all the sin I was telling you that was in my life I didn't see, and there's still stuff I don't see, but I'm as yielded as I know how to be, like I was when all this happened. But I'm talking about a lost person. The only prayer a lost person can pray is, Lord, save my soul. That God doesn't hear the prayers of the lost. Isaiah 59, it's verses 1 and 2, it says, God's hand is not short that he cannot save. His ear is not dull that it cannot hear, for your sins have your sin has separated you from God. John 9:31, and then he doesn't hear the prayer of the lost unless it's repentance. Any of those that mock his word, and we mock his word. You know, one way we mock his word is somebody will say, well, this is what God's word says. Yeah, but I don't believe that. This is what I believe. It doesn't matter what I believe or you believe. It matters what God's word says. God's word is forever settled in heaven, and he watches over his word to perform it. The scripture says, the leaf withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. And then he doesn't hear prayers with selfish motives. In James 4:2-4, it says, you lust and you do not have, you commit murder. It says you're jealous and you're covetous and you don't get your prayers answered. I'm paraphrasing. It says you ask and you do not receive, really because you're not asking God's way. It says you ask and you do not receive because you ask with selfish motives to spend it on your own lust. So he doesn't answer those kind of prayers. Prayers that he does hear is prayers of the humble. And you know, in Luke 18, the Pharisee, he boasted, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that poor publican over there, full of pride. And the publican was beating his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And God heard the prayer of the publican, and he rejected the prayer of the Pharisee. Have you been a Pharisee? I think I have. I think Pharisees run in our family. Religious people, you know, talking about God. On my daddy's side, they're all his brothers. He had eight brothers. They're all talking about God. Not one of them lived uprightly before the Lord. So I question where they are. But they talked about God all the time. Lorna will tell you that. Always talking about God. Which is good to talk about God, but, you know, if we're not doing the Word, you don't call me Lord, Lord, unless you're doing what I say. In fact, it's a poor testimony because it gives people the idea that just because you're talking about God, you can go to heaven, and it might cause us to not live the way we ought to live because we think, well, they got by. Well, let me tell you, if they got by, they got by with a hair. But you're not supposed to judge their heart, but I'm telling you, there was no fruit in their life. God hears the prayers of the righteous. Psalms 34, verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open toward their cry. He hears the prayers of those who fear him. Psalms 145:10. It says he will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. Also, he hears their cry and will save them. Hallelujah. He hears the prayers of those who keep his covenant, keep his word, keep his commandments. 1 John 3:22. It says, and we know that whatever we ask, we receive from him because we are doing the things that please him and keeping his commandments. And he hears those who abide in him. And for us to abide in him, we have to choose death to our flesh. One way I do this is when something bothers me, something might make me angry, or something I think my kids are not giving me enough attention, and which I get no attention, but that's okay. I've already taken up the mountain, right? You know, it's amazing how you pour your life into your grandkids, and everybody's just too busy. And sometimes you that may hurt you, and I'm not hurt anymore. I have been. But you know, Abraham, God told Abraham to take his only son up the mountain and kill him. That doesn't sound like a good thing. But I take anything that makes me angry, anything that makes me fearful, anything that discourages me, even this eye problem, I take it up the mountain. And I say, Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? He's telling me they don't love me, that blah, 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 I'm going to go blind or whatever. Lord, if that would bring you the greatest glory and honor, so be it. But devil, you can't touch me in Jesus' name. Now, if you just have a request, God says you have not because you ask not. But if there's an area of fear and anger and worry and depression and hurt, that's idolatry. And you've got to take it up the mountain and let it go, because Jesus said if you hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for his sake, you'll find it. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And so he's given us an example of us, of being that grain of wheat that dies. It says it abides alone. You hear rejection in it. If I'm alive to my flesh, I'm rejected. God says he hears the haughty from afar. So when you're haughty or you're prideful or your fear, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Fear is faith in what the devil tells you instead of what God tells you. Fear is torment. And I can tell you right now, and all I'm going through, I don't have any fear, and I'm not mad about anything, and I've forgiven all the politicians. Nothing is worse than a crooked politician, and we got a lot of them. I hear that our attorney general might be after George Soros, so that'd be good, right? Praise God. And Lord, if those people are savable, we ask you to save them. Randy says they're Nephilim. Anyway, so I've been praying salvation for these Nephilim, so I'm going to quit. That may be why I'm getting attacked like this right now, but God can't touch me unless God lets them. Amen. And then, you know, to have the right place of prayer, we should pray where he's at. So for us to get him where he's at, we've got to be praising people, right? Because he inhabits our praises. My prayer for my life is that, God, I can live in your presence. I want to live in your presence every day. And the only way we can live in his presence is to overcome, not grumble, complain, but praise God. God says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So to have the right place of prayer, we need to be praying where he's at, and that's where we're praising him, because we bring in his presence when we praise him. Now, some of the music that they call praise nowadays actually is worshiping the beast. All of that rock rap music that you cannot understand the words, that would drive me crazy if I had to listen to. I break that curse. But that's not worshiping the Lord. This contemporary music, I mean, I'm here to tell you, if you like it, you still got a little, love a little. You need to ask God to show you what kind of music He likes. It's worship of I exalt Thee. Worship adoration. I worship You. I adore You. I love You, Lord. These just prayers of declaration. That's not worship. It's prayers of adoration. And I love the worship that Jane plays because she plays worship, true worship music. Thankful for that. And so an atmosphere of prayer, we need a quiet place, a place alone with the Lord. Years ago, I still do. I thank God since I was about 40 years old, I've been able to have a prayer room, an extra room. If you don't have an extra room, fix a closet. Have a prayer closet. Have a place where you can go and be alone with God. Even taking a walk, if you haven't got a closet, go for a walk and start talking to God. And was it the Wesley, mother of John Wesley, that had so many kids that the only way she could pray is she put her apron up over her head, and the kids knew when the apron was over, I think it was her, when the apron was over her head, they knew to leave her alone that she was praying. And look how many preachers that she had that came out of that family, John Wesley and what was the other? Charles Wesley. Had godly kids that came out of that bloodline. And so we need to find a place of peace. The other day I had a mother email me that her little baby would scream in the night and was restless and would only sleep about an hour. And I said, she said, he sleeps in the bedroom with my husband and I. Not her husband. She hadn't married him yet. But anyway... and he watches TV. The commercials would drive a baby crazy. Oh my goodness, they're so demonic. You know, if the Word of God is seed and words are seed, and you're a spiritual garden, you're planting demonic seeds down in your heart. Don't ever go to sleep with the TV going, because you're planting that garbage down in your heart, and whatever you plant bears fruit. So if you've got a lot of poisonous weeds in your garden, you need to start pulling up the weeds and start letting God plant His Word down in your heart. And how you pray for the lost. I think the best way to pray for the lost is pray 2 Corinthians 10:4-6 that says, the weapons of our warfare are not worldly but mighty to God for the smashing down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and taking captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And the way I would pray that, say I'm praying for boo-boo. Deborah says bo-bo boo-boo. Say I'm praying for boo-boo. I say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I tear down strongholds in boo-boo's life of unbelief, of doubt, of worldliness, of fornication, adultery, of antichrist, rebellion, pride, whatever, drunkenness, drug addiction, whatever you see in their life. And then the next verse says, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God in boo-boo's life. And I take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And keep praying that. And I believe you'll see results in that. And if you've been judging that person, you need to break all the curses you've spoken over them. I'm ministering to a little boy in our church, and he's like the black sheep. He's been taking this precious godly man, and his wife adopted these three little African-American two boys and a little girl. And the one little boy, I can tell he's been a scapegoat his whole life. And he's wetting the bed and all this kind of stuff. And so because of the curses that have been spoken over him and the different foster homes that he's been into, and he'll steal food. And that kind of came into him through living with this one foster home that baked cookies, and he would steal the cookies and take him to his bedroom, and they opened the door to steal him. He's a precious little boy, and I see a mighty calling on his life. And then praying preventative prayers. Years ago, the Lord taught me through a pastor that mentored me in my earlier years that he prayed preventative prayers for his children. And so when my oldest son was 12, I prayed for them before 12, but I began to pray consistently from the time he was 12. And I began to pray in both of my children, and I began to pray the Word. I had the old Living Bible, and I encourage you to do this. And I began to pray every verse in an old Living Bible that I could make a prayer for my kids, their descendants, and their mates. And I could see the fruit of it. Not that they haven't sidetracked a little bit, but I can tell you they all love the Lord. And they're all called, every last one of them. My oldest granddaughter is 33, and I started praying for her 47 years ago, which was when her daddy was 12 years old. And she lost her husband 3 years ago when his plane crashed south of Japan. And so it's been a time of grief for her. She was pregnant with her little girl, and she had a 4-year-old boy. And we began to pray God would send Boaz to her. Because it's, in the Bible, where Ruth was a widow. And I'm telling you, our church, I began to pray it, and then my grandson and I began to pray it, and then our church began to pray that God would send her a Boaz. And God sent a man that he's 42, never married, and he is like a Boaz. In fact, I got a text from him that the whole church was praying for me. His daddy pastors a Baptist church. And his daddy's going to turn the church over to him, and she's already, the last 2 years, when she before her husband was killed, she wasn't interested in ministry. I've been telling her whole life that she was created for God. I'd pray God would create a little girl for his praise. She rejected it, but after she was broken, God used that to thrust her into the ministry. In the last 2 years, James Dobson has invited her to teach at his family council. And it's like she's called to the nations. And God, I've seen 47 years of prayers being answered in her life. And she is so happy with Boaz. And the little children just love him. I was reading some of the stuff on the internet that he wrote. He does all kinds of stuff. He's a trainer for John Maxwell, he teaches leadership. He's got a non-profit organization where he teaches leadership to children. So I read some things that he wrote, and some of the things he wrote was, before he even met my daughter-in-law, my daughter, he said, I have such a heart for children. He started in his daddy's church, the Champion Baptist Academy, and they have a Baptist school, and now my grandchildren will be going to his Christian school that he's the overseer. It's just like a God thing. God answers prayer. Don't give up. He answers prayer. Hallelujah. But it blesses my heart because of all the years I prayed and she didn't seem to be interested. And now I see her serving God. Praise God. So don't give up on your children. I prayed for my youngest son for 20 years, and he's in heaven now. He died of AIDS in 1989, and I prayed for him for 20 years. Lord, do whatever it takes. Just don't let him go to hell. And praise God, he's in heaven now. And had I not had him, I wouldn't have been the prayer person that God let me be because of praying for him. I should have did more of knocking prayer than I did seeking prayer. But that's okay. Praise God. And perfect prayers is to pray the Word of God and pray it out loud because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So pray scripture prayers. This is the confidence you can have toward Him. If you know anything, if you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if He hears you, you already have what you asked for. So when I went through the Living Bible for my kids, their descendants, and their mates, I began to pray every scripture that I could make a prayer. I made it a prayer. And my son, I knew when he was a teenager that who his wife was going to be. I began to pray for him and his wife, calling her by her maiden name. And when after I prayed for him 2 or 3 years, the Lord said, she's going to be your daughter-in-law. And there's been really hard times with her, but the Lord used her to show me my own issues. You know, he uses your family to do that. Did you know that? But in all the struggles I've gone through with this daughter-in-law, I have not one doubt that she wasn't the woman God had for him. Because God knew exactly what he needed. And so I think sometimes she picked up where I left off. Anyway, I'm thankful for my daughter-in-law. I'm thankful that she's a good woman, a clean woman. And I'm thankful that she doesn't run everybody to the doctor every 5 minutes. I'm thankful for that. But she grew up with a daddy that would never take the kids to the doctor. So I'm glad. Not that there's anything against doctors, but sometimes you can get too much doctor. And so pray preventative prayers, and then find the answers in God's Word. He's got His Word will tell you what's wrong with you. Whatever your symptom is, you may not can find leukemia in the Word of God, but you can find blood in the Word of God. And you can find words in there that fit. Because the Bible says He sent His Word to heal you. And some of the reasons people don't pray is because of sin and because of rebellion. They don't want to obey, or they don't want, they're afraid of what God's going to tell them, or they don't fear God, or they don't know God is the reason they don't pray. But another reason that I want us to deal with today is if you grew up with a daddy, especially a daddy or a mother that didn't talk to you and communicate with you, you believe a lie that God doesn't talk to you either. And that's one of the roots for people that want God, that are submitted to God, don't pray because they see God as they saw their earthly father. He didn't have no answers for me. He won't forgive me. He won't help me. He doesn't love me. And if you don't go to God with your problem, you're a fainter where you want to give up and quit. And in the morning, we'll deal with fainting spirit in the group. In fact, I might just do it now. A fainting spirit is where you are having a happy day, but a problem comes up and you take a nosedive. And the reason you take a nosedive is because you've got a perverted image of God. And so instead of going to the throne of grace where you can receive mercy and help in time of need, you come short of the grace of God and receive a root of bitterness and faint and give up and quit. And so if you grew up with a mother and father that gave you a poor image of what God's like, because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. And so if you grew up with those kind of parents, then the lie is you can't go to God because he don't want me, he don't want to talk to me. If your daddy didn't talk to you, he don't want to talk to me, he don't love me, he don't want me. He didn't give me good advice, he's drunk, he rejects me, or whatever. Whatever you judged your earthly father for or your mother for, you believe a lie that God's the same way, and that's why you don't pray. If you're a person that really has wondered why you have a hard time praying. Now, Carla talked about earlier when she was speaking, she talked about how she just asked God. And see, she felt the liberty to do that because she had a relationship with her daddy like this. And you see, God wants us to have a relationship with Him like that. You know, it's easy for me to ask God because I had a daddy that you might not like what he said, but you were going to hear the truth. He would tell you whether you wanted to hear it or not. In fact, if you didn't even ask him, he'd tell you. Anyway, my mother used to say, you and your daddy are just like your grandmother. His mother. My mother did not like my grandmother, and she did not like my mother. Anyway, one thing the Lord showed me is, I remember when I was a little girl, I was laying on the floor, and my grandmother was there, and my grandmother said to me in front of my mother, your mother doesn't love you. And I said, yes, she does, because I never doubted my mother's love. And I mean, I never doubted my mother and daddy loved me. I mean, I knew they loved me. My mother would die for me. My daddy, too. And I said, yes, she does. And she said, no, she doesn't. If she did, she'd make you mine. And I remember as a little girl judging that they didn't like one another. And so then I made a judgment. When I have a daughter-in-law, we're going to have a good relationship. And it's been rocky. But we have a good relationship, but we don't really have a relationship, if that makes sense. But that judgment I made, I've had to repent of the judgment that I made as a little girl. You see, whatever you go through, there's an answer for it. And God wants to, He wants to purify your life. And prayer is the vehicle whereby He does that. So I want you to stand up, and I want you to just repent of the judgment you made on your mother and father. And don't say, I forgive them for all these things. Start naming the negatives. And you can bless the Lord for the positives later. So stand up and let's deal with judgments you made on your father. Abandonment, not loving you, being a drunk, not setting a good example. Pray with me. Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Show me everything in my life that you want to deal with. And let me know the truth that sets me free. What do I need to forgive my dad and my mother for? And your step-parents, if you never knew your dad or mom, you still have to forgive your dad because your dad violated every scripture because he wasn't even there. So, Lord, thank you for the truth that sets me free. Father, in the name of, pray with me. First, the fainting spirit. Remember, you faint because you want to give up and quit because you think God's like your mom and dad. So whenever you have a problem, if you go to God with the problem, He strengthens, confirms, establishes, and perfects you. If you don't go to God with your problem, you faint, give up, quit, and like one of those paper airplanes, you go cheer and clunk. So remember, you've got to go to God with all of your problems because He's not like your mom and dad. And it may be difficult at first, but you do it because He's not like your parents. So Father, forgive me for being a fainter. I forgive my father and my mother and my grandparents and my forefathers for everything that I have confessed and forgiven them for. I take accountability for this fainting spirit, this perverted image of God, the lies I have believed about you, Lord. I take accountability. And Father, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through perverted image of God, through forefathers who did not train their children up in the way they should go. In Jesus' name, I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses. Now pray with me. I forgive my parents for abandoning me, not loving me, not wanting me, rejecting me. I forgive them for not valuing me. I forgive them for being harsh and cruel. I forgive them for being alcoholic. I forgive them for fighting in front of me. I forgive my dad for mistreating my mother. I forgive my mother for mistreating my daddy in the name of Jesus. I forgive my daddy that I never knew him. I forgive my parents for divorce. I forgive my step-parents. I forgive them that they didn't love me, they didn't want me, they didn't value me, they didn't appreciate me. They expected me to be perfect, and I forgive them for making a scapegoat out of me. I forgive them for molestation. I forgive them for perfectionism, performance. I forgive them for putting responsibilities on me that a little girl should have never been under. I forgive them for making my life a life of unrest. I forgive them for making me take care of brothers and sisters and doing jobs that only parents should be doing. I forgive them for putting burdens on my back that a little girl should not be put under. In the name of Jesus, I forgive them for harsh treatment, verbal abuse. I forgive them. I forgive them for verbal abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse. I forgive them for hatred and meanness and being vicious and for contention and strife. I forgive them for not taking care of me. I forgive them for not protecting me. I forgive them for rejecting me in the womb. I forgive them for conceiving me illegitimately if they did. I forgive them for controlling. I forgive my mother for controlling my dad. I forgive them for not disciplining me. I forgive them for their rebellion, their drunkenness, their gluttony, their overindulgence, their cruelty, their theft, their criminal behavior. I forgive them for what else? Name something that I didn't name. Somebody. I forgive them for their indifference, for ignoring me. And what else?
What? Not showing me love.
Not showing me love. Okay, what else? Speak up. What? not setting a godly example, that my daddy was not the spiritual leader of the home. He wasn't even there if he wasn't there. He was there, but he wasn't there. Okay, what else?
Being a bully.
What?
Being a bully.
Being a bully? Yes. What else? Embarrassing me in front of other people?
Disdain.
Disdain? What else?
Accusing me of something I didn't do.
False accusations? Okay. What you name may fit somebody else, so speak up. Insensitivity. Not caring about my hurts or my pains or my needs. What else?
Calling me names.
Name calling, criticizing me, judging me, telling me that I'll never amount to anything, I'll never find a man that loves me, nobody wants me, they wish I was dead. What else? I forgive them for being people pleasers.
Judging my mother.
Yeah, showing partiality. You know what happens when you grow up in a family and they favor a sibling? Then you might go to Danica and say, Danica, pray for me about this, because you don't go to God because you think God's like your mom and dad, and he shows partiality, and he'll hear Danica, but he won't hear you. You see how that applies?
Yeah.
So, Lord, I forgive my mother and father for showing partiality. I forgive them for being poor. Forgive them for not working. I forgive them for working too hard. Okay, what do you got there? Speak up.
Forgive them for training me up in witchcraft.
Training me up in witchcraft, okay. Trying to get me to serve the devil. Thank you for delivering me, Lord. What else?
For blaming me for how their life didn't go.
Right. Blaming you for everything. Yes. Making me feel guilty. Caring more for their animals than their children. Okay. What else?
For the shame I felt in the small town I grew up in.
Yeah. I forgive them for embarrassing me. What else?
Murder.
Forgive them for murder. Yes. Treating me like a family tragedy. Regretting the day I was born. What else?
Frustration. My father was the father of seven. I think it was a frustration that things didn't go well. And he was from a small family where things were in order.
Right. Being frustrated. Okay. Being angry. I forgive him for being angry, raging, cursing, not loving the Lord, not training me up in the way I should go, training me up in the way I should not go, because my life's been going like it should not go.
Forgive him for hitting me, abusing me.
Hitting me, abusing me.
Spiritual blindness, not seeing how blessed you were.
Yes, spiritual blindness. What else?
Knowing about the molestation.
Yes, blaming me. Yes, knowing that I was being molested and not doing anything about it. Not defending me, not protecting me. I forgive him for not disciplining me. What else? Perfectionism. Yes. I forgive him for intolerance that goes with perfectionism. What else?
Teaching me wicked things instead of godly things.
Teaching me wickedness instead of godly things. Praise God. God's going to reverse all of that, sister.
Amen.
What else? Rejection. Giving me away. Yes, I forgive him for giving me away and letting other people raise me. Being the black sheep and the scapegoat. Everybody takes out their bad day on me because I suffer the brunt of all their problems for that day. What else? False responsibility. Wrong yoke. Forgive them. I never could rest around them. Never could trust them. And Lord, forgive me for taking matters into my own hands. I couldn't trust them, and I really can't trust myself, but I could trust myself more than I could trust them. Forgive me for controlling. To keep my world in order, I had to be a controller. What else, Lord?
Being unplanned and called an accident.
Yes, being called unplanned and called an accident.
I wish you were never born. Mistake.
You wish you were never born. No mistake. Being called a black sheep. Being told I was a failure. ugly, not tall enough, not short enough, not fat enough, not skinny enough, calling me fat, calling me skinny as a rail. You'll never amount to anything.
Stupid. Giving up on me.
Yes, giving up on me.
Not being heard.
Not listening to me. I forgive him that it was shut up and just do it. What else? Well, Lord, I forgive my parents for all these things. And forgive me. I forgive them for not giving me good answers to the problems, not solving my problems. In the name of Jesus. I break soul ties with them. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. Making promises that when I get out of this house, I'm going to find someone not like them that will love me. And Lord, that was idolatry. Lord, I didn't know I could go to you as a little girl, and so I turned to false gods. And Lord, I forgive my parents. I break the judgments I made against them. I break the power. I put the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus between the negative way they trained me up. I break that demonic default that was set by them training me up in the way I should not go. And Lord, I've just been reaping the judgments that I made on them my whole life. And I truly forgive them. I get off my judge's bench. I walk them over to your courtroom, put them in your courtroom, close the door, and I thank you, Lord, that vengeance is yours. You'll repay. Lord, I just forgive them that they probably had parents that were just like them or worse. So, Lord, we just forgive them. We bless them. We command that we renounce the lie that, God, you're just like them. And we break the power of that fainting spirit, that root of bitterness, the spirit that causes them to want to give up, quit, lose heart, and bail out. Come out of them now in Jesus' name. Every demon, come out now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Just let it go. Fainting spirits, come out now in Jesus' name. Prayerlessness, come out. Every lie that God don't want to talk to them, come out of them now in Jesus' name. Every prayer, every lie that God is just like their mother and father, just like everything we just confessed, that is a lie. God is perfect. He's not a man that he can lie. I forgive my parents for being liars and thieves in Jesus' name. Forgive them. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. I break the power of fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness. I break the power of anger, bitterness, rage, resentment, hatred, variance, strife. Come out now in Jesus' name. I break the power of failure in the name of Jesus. I nullify, make void, and cancel every negative word, every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment that was spoken over them. We break all satanic covenants in Jesus' name, all the way back to Adam and Eve. We break all witchcraft covenants all the way back to Adam and Eve in Jesus' name. Lord, we make a new covenant with you to be your holy bride, which breaks all former covenants in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We command depression, discouragement, failure, fruitlessness, prayerlessness. Come out now in the name of Jesus. We break the power of every spirit of rejection, man-pleasing spirit, spirit of man. You come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we break your power. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Consider the lilies. They don't spin or toil, yet your heavenly Father cares for them, even the old dirty sparrows that fall.
God knows everyone that falls. He knows every hair of your head is numbered in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control in Jesus' name. I love you so much. I love people more now that all this has happened to me. It's given me a greater love for other people. Praise the Lord. And it's going to get better, too, in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord. Thank you so much. We're going to get out early here.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.